Hi everyone, it's Sandy Leyva, and I am super jazzed that you're here for me for our Practice Management Toolbox. This is our second session. So welcome back. Hopefully you've attended or at least listened to the first recording of the toolbox. And now you know that we're going to focus today on client onboarding. Those are the things we're going to do. First, what I want to do is go over the basic foundational stuff that we have to say each time we have the webinar, and then also talk a little bit about procedure development in general. So you've gotten kind of a taste of what's possible in all the forms and samples and templates and procedures that you can develop in the marketing area that we went over yesterday. First, let's say that if you're online for CPE, you'll need to stay on the line for at least 50 minutes from the top of the hour or whenever you logged in, whichever is later, and answer three out of the four polling questions that we have for you today. I don't think she did the polling questions last night. She may be waiting until tomorrow to do it. So bear with us. It usually takes at least a day to get those CPE certificates done. We have some manual steps we have to do. When they're ready, you'll go to this link and find the correct date of your webinar and then enter your email address, click submit, and then you can print your certificate using your browser print function. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about procedures at the beginning here, and then I'm going to go over the forms in that second tab on your download page that we talked about the four sections that we'll be going over on Wednesday. So let's talk about a sample procedure. We do web pages, we do websites for accounting firms and solo small business owners. So let's talk about that procedure that we do. So what we do is what happens when we onboard a client for web? Well, we used to have 72 steps or 42 steps. Don't let me exaggerate. I think it was 42 steps. We've made it a little bit easier. But the trigger that comes in when we have to do this process is an order for, now we call them Starter, Premium, Pro, and Platinum. All right. But at any rate, we would get an order and then that triggers the process. So what we used to do is we used to set up a folder in our project management system and we would copy a template over and then we would end up sending welcome emails. Now we have it a little bit more simplified. We have a landing page. So once they place their order, the client goes on a landing page from the order and it asks four really easy questions, two of which, really three of which we need to get started. So then what we do is we follow up with additional questions as we're building the site. But one of the things we've discovered is there's a little bit of a bottleneck with the client if we ask them for everything we need all at once. So we just ask them for a couple things so we can get started. And then we follow up later with other details as we go through the process, and that tends to be smoother. But we really never figured out, this until we started documenting all the steps. So you'll find that your procedures will probably change from year to year, at the very least, when you're going through things with a client. So let's kind of think very systematically and very organized. This is going to be easier for you than it is for me. And talk about what are the components of sample procedure. Well, we may have shell project steps, or we may have an outline or a checklist. I know you guys have made outlines and checklists before, so that's where you would probably feel good getting started. We might have emails that we send to the client. There's no use wording them every single client that comes in. So have a standard email that you're really proud of that you can cut and paste each time you get a new client. So you're starting to make it more consistent with each client that comes on. And then you also, we talked a little bit about intake in terms of sales cycle questions. You can certainly take those so that the client doesn't have to fill out more paperwork, but you might have additional questions that you need to ask, like passwords and stuff like that, once you get the business. All right, so Kathy's asking, I'm confused, is there a certain software you're using for this client project thing? So this is just what we do in my business. The first thing is to not think about software at all, Kathy, because I think what happens is we just, you know, we go too much to a software solution without doing our homework first. So the only thing I want you to think about is when you bring a client on, and you're going to have different procedures for if it's a tax client or if it's a monthly client or if it's just a one-off project, you know, maybe a QuickBooks or a Xero project client, you're going to have a set of steps that you go through. And this is all that I'm suggesting that you do, that you think about right now. All right. And then I'm using my company as an example. Okay. So for example, we talked about, you know, yesterday we provided some forms for you, but we didn't talk about the process or the procedures. I mean, I hinted about them a little bit. So let's say what happens when a lead comes into your business. For us, it might be a website lead. For you, it might be a bookkeeping lead. Okay, so you use your imagination on what happens. So what do you do? Do you just swing it on the phone with them until you get a yes or no with no follow-up? That's not a process. That's winging it in business. Instead, you might want to set an appointment. You might want to send them a form to fill out. You might want to, when you have the appointment, you might want to hold the call and you have a certain set of questions. Maybe you have video conferencing or teleconferencing software where you set up a teleconference call for them. So there's a procedure that needs to get done around that. Then you're asking the client questions. Then you're presenting solutions, potentially. It could be a series of appointments if it's a complicated project. So then at the end of this procedure, at the end of this sales call, you would take the order or not. Well, if you don't get the order, do you just drop the ball or do you have a follow-up list? And then do you ask the question before you hang up? When would be a good time to check back with you on the decision you've made or to see if you need any other information? All right. So these are the kinds of things that you want to add or consider adding in your process flow for when a customer lead, a prospect comes into your business. Does that make sense now? Okay. And you can imagine it how many thousands or hundreds, at least, I don't want to overwhelm you too much, hundreds of procedures you're going to have that have steps. Okay. So, all right. So a couple of you are asking about the download page. It's the same as yesterday. All right. So, let me just take the time to post it for you guys. I don't know, whether you didn't get the email or we're just sending out one email. It's the same link and the same, everything. All right. So you should have gotten an email. This is in your email. And we went over it in your PowerPoint in the slide yesterday. So let me type in the for everybody who still needs it again. Okay. And that's the password. All right. So now hopefully that's done and nobody's going to ask anymore. Okay. All right. So here's another one. What happens when, if any of you are doing bill payment for family offices, or you've got, you know, maybe elderly people, or you're just providing, you know, controller-like duties, and this is part of it, fiduciary stuff. then, you know, what happens when a bill comes in from a client? Or you could say your own business. Do you scan it? Do you take a picture of it? Does it go through approvals? Do you enter it in a bill.com system? Do you write a check or do you pay it by PayPal or ACH? You know, do you hand write it? Do you hand mail it? Or do you have a little bit more automated of a process? All right. So each client might be different, but you can always start with a shell and then copy it over for each client. All right. So the cool thing is that you've got it documented in the first place. And you can also, as I mentioned in the yesterday, you can also share the procedures that you write with your clients, which is a value add, and you can charge more and have an additional services that you an additional service that is generating revenue that you probably have to do anyway, because somehow you're going to have to write down all this stuff because you can't keep it in your head once you get past about 20 clients, right? Unless you're like a genius or something. It's just going to be too hard to remember even if you're young, right? Okay. So how do you start to develop these procedures? It's basically just putting pen to paper or, you know, typing it up in an Excel spreadsheet more likely and answering, you know, who, what, when, why, how. You know, why is always good if you're going to delegate it to a younger person these days. There's going to be different procedures. Some might be transaction driven, some might be date driven. Right. So if it's transaction driven, the trigger is going to be when you receive it, like a bill or an order or another, you know, any almost any document is going to trigger some kind of action in accounting departments. All right. And then just describe what's going to happen in kind of a checklist format or a step-by-step format. And do it at the lowest level of your lowest employee, because then you won't have to describe, you know, quite so much. You won't have to talk. Rebecca says she can't remember after 5 clients. To be honest with you, I can't remember after 1 client. I have to write everything down at this point. So, yeah, and so at QuickBooks Connect, if I call you by the wrong name, I'm going to apologize right now. All right, so when you have 1,600 clients, it's really hard. Okay, so let's go into polling questions. Our first one, what percentage of your practice is documented with procedures? Kind of like I just described. Are there any questions? Because I want to make sure it's clear. And, it, you know, I know I confused at least one of you. All right, everybody got the website link to the download and the handouts, right? Are we all cool with that now? And Deanna is asking, will additional forms be added as we complete sessions? Yes, I'm going to add 2 more tabs, Deanna, and I will we'll probably do that Friday. We're really backed up right now, so bear with us. We are like crazy backed up. This is actually our busy season from October 15th to really February, the end of February now. So bear with us. It is our busy season. Our busy season is when you're not having a busy season. So, and this is like the peak of it. We've been busy all year, but this is like the hardest month for me. It's like your March. Okay. So let's get 10 more seconds, you guys. There's only 87% voted, and I don't want to miss out. Okay, I guess that's going to be it. Okay, so the biggest number was a little over a third of you have up to 20% of your practice documented. And 20% zero, fair enough. That's why you're here probably. 26% have 21 to 40. 11% have 41 to 70. And 9% have more than 70. Good for you guys. Okay. Okay. A bunch of questions came in. So let me just Make sure I've got everything. Okay, Michelle says she only has client procedures documented, and I'm glad you said that because really that's the best place to start. So as we go through these, all of these forms that I'm giving you and all of these tips, I want you to think about what is the highest ROI that you can get, and that's where you can start. So I don't want you to get overwhelmed with all this because it is a lot if it's a new concept to you. But think about what's going to be the highest payback and just focus on that area. Renee's asking, is there a template for writing procedures in the download? I think on Tuesday, I'm going to be going over a whole bunch of stuff that's going to help you in that area. So hang loose till Tuesday when I go over the process stuff and the process stuff. I can't remember what the tab's called, but it's, the core operational stuff. Kathy's asking when we write a, or maybe she's mentioning, when we write a procedure for a certain department, we have someone isn't in that department use the draft procedure to see if we have covered everything in each step. Excellent idea. Sharon says, I'm finding that even as a sole proprietor, I need to start documenting everything as I grow my practice. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, big tip, big secret, this is going to take you to the next level. If you felt stuck with your revenue, this is the key to taking your business to the next level, starting to delegate, starting to rely on other people so that you can grow your business. When you have form samples, templates, you can start delegating and cloning yourself effectively. All right. There's another mindset thing that goes with this, letting go of control, but I guess that's going to be another webinar series. All right. So I know you guys are really comfortable with checklists and outlines. So that's what I recommend that you start with. You may already have some checklists lying around. These are important from an internal control standpoint and also from making sure that you don't make a mistake and skip a step, right? So you're even if you're a sole proprietor, I really recommend that you have this because, that frees up your brain for more important things, rather than worrying about whether you skipped a step or missed a deadline, right? All right, so starting with checklists can help you develop them further into procedures. All right. So for example, I had I think I provided you with sets of questions yesterday in some of it. So, taking those, making them your own. So these are some of the places where you can use checklists, during your sales cycle, for the prospect intake form. When you onboard clients, when you onboard employees, even when you onboard vendors. And then the actual work, I'm going to be talking about having a client procedure shell that you start with in each of your service lines. I mean, and you may need more than one. You may need one for a 1040 versus an 1120, right? But it's effectively the same concept, and there's going to be a lot of duplication. All right. And then as you take on different client processes, you may have multiple checklists, for a particular client, but you can always start with a shell so that you're not reinventing the wheel because internal control is internal control is internal control across, a large number of organizations. It's going to be fairly similar. Okay. So again, just more about checklists and more places that you can use them. Account analysis, bank reconciliations, double checking to match balance sheet balances with actual assets and banks and so forth. For us, what do you do when a client asks for a website update? We have a set of procedures. And so on and so forth. So these are kind of the areas where you can look at that. As a matter of fact, let me kind of show you. Here's kind of an interesting hint I'll give you. What we use Git Flow. We use Flow, which is the name of our task management system. Now, my team, I only have total of 4 employees, so it's not huge. But we actually created a project inside my task management system called Procedures, which has everything, or at least it has a lot of stuff in it. So you can kind of see some of, I'll show you some of the details. A lot of this is outdated at this point, but what do we do when we get a new client? Where are all the places we need to add them to our systems and to our lists? All right, I'm pretty sure I can. I just have to make sure I don't do one that has passwords on it. Okay. So, you know, we add it. Actually, I do that. We add it to the constant contact. We add it to a worksheet with all the web clients on it. We add, you know, so on and so forth. So we have little things that we do when a new client comes on. We have things that we do for this. Some clients request this particular page. This is a draft of an email that Marjorie sends to have the client test this particular page. Here's one that's kind of outdated because we've automated it further. But these are just all the things we used to do. And then that's the welcome email we used to send. All of that's automated now, a little bit more so. But as you can see, these are all just little procedure things. Sharon, the answer is yes. And like even if a credit card fails, at first I didn't know. Now I do this all the time now because you guys have credit card fraud every 5 minutes, it seems like. And the first time I did this, I had actually called a helpline because Infusionsoft is a shopping cart I use and it's really complex. So what we do, what I had to do is learn how to do that. So I wrote down all the steps because, you know, it was hard for me to remember. All right, so these are kind of some of the things that we do. And actually, the big one that, you know, some of the bigger, longer ones have passwords on it. So I can't show you those details, but you can see this is a checklist or steps of things that, you know, that we do as just part of, you know, any number. And if we were a little bit more organized, which we're not, we would have accounting procedures all in one place, web procedure, you know, web client procedures, training client procedures, you know, and so on and so forth. All right. And then we'd be a little bit more organized, the sales procedures, so on and so forth. So so to give you just kind of to open your eyes on how we do it, it's very accessible. It's in the cloud. All of our checklists are not in, you know, a binder on the shelf. They're all in our cloud project management tools built in. All right, and see why I think it's important to develop these before you even go looking for software for this. Some of this may already be built in software that's available, like if you're using Thomson Reuters or CCH or Office Tools Pro, whatever the new name of that is now. There are, you know, some possibilities where you have some templates and checklists that are part of that package, but you still need to make them your own. And so that, you know, you can, so that it's your business, because you might have an edge. You might have a competitive edge with additional steps you're doing or different steps that you're doing with the client. All right, let's do the second polling question. What describes your client onboarding process? Okay, let's give you about 10 more seconds to do this polling question. If you want CPE, you need to do 3 out of the 4 polls, please. Renee's asking, how much time should it take to get these processor procedures written? Great question. Years. My answer is years. It's one of those things that you never really check off your checklist because, you know, they constantly need updating. And one of the things you want to be very careful of is not getting into the frame of mind where you've had an employee with you for 5 to 10 years and then, you know, get really comfortable and have them know a gazillion things. You know, the true test is when Marjorie went on vacation, you know, because she'll go overseas and, you know, she'll be gone for 3 to 4 weeks. And that's not, you know, that's way too long for the whole part of her, you know, job to stop. So, you know, it was interesting to me because she's been with me for 5 years. You know, I'm very comfortable not, you know, with her and not knowing everything that she does. But you want to make sure that your procedures are up to date because that's when you need them the most. You know, if for some reason that employee decides to go into a different direction, you really want to have these things caught up, right? Patricia says, I've been going almost 40 years and I'm still refining. Okay, so let's go ahead and share. 43% of you have a few checklists. 35% of you admit to winging it every time. 18% of you have forms, questionnaires, and interview. Some of you have been my clients for more than 5 years, so I'm hoping that you're in the 18% here. All right. Barbara says, so when you're updating procedures for a client, do you charge as an ongoing or standalone service? You know, you get to pick. It's your own business. And, you know, hopefully you've got enough profit built in to where that's included in the price that you quoted the client. You know, if it's not, you may want to, you know, this is why I recommend having 3 packages. Maybe it's only on your premium or your platinum package that you share procedures with the client and you don't share procedures with the client at your bottom level package. So, you know, different, you know, your A clients, your clients that, you know, pay the most, they pay on time, you love working with them, they have interesting businesses that are growing. Those are the ones that, you know, hopefully you have enough profit margin in your pricing to where you can, you know, include the update. Excuse me. All right. So now let's go to our download page and start reviewing what we've got for you in the client onboarding and service section. So let's start with statement of work. And one thing I need to be sure to say again is I cannot give legal advice. So these next couple are similar to engagement letters, except that I recommend a different format. And this is something I think is going to be part of the December course if you want to know more. But basically, I recommend that you start with a client with a statement of work. And then attach to all that legal background stuff is you've got work orders, all right? So let's take a look at each of these. And you know, every time a client wants something new that's outside the scope of the initial engagement, you can add a work order and get that signed without having to re-sign a completely new engagement letter. And that makes a lot of sense. So let's look at the statement of work. Okay, and again, just, you know, however you want to use this is up to you. This is basically just something that you would attach to a contract. And those are kind of the major sections of it. contract core with work order, again, you really need to work with a attorney on this one. If you are a CPA, you should not use this at all. You should use something that your insurance company provides, or typically you've already got a subscription to, used to be PPC, whoever, wherever you get your documents, you're going to have an engagement letter that's part of that. So be sure that you have all the normal accounting disclaimers in the document. This one does not. All right, but you could add it. And the concept here is that you have a core document with all these crazy legal things, all right? And then what you have is you have a work order, the statement of work, exhibit A, B, C, and then you have it to where it's connected. And then what happens is this document refers to the statement of work. All right. So that's kind of like a work order. All right. Sharon's saying the AICPA and state societies also have sample engagement letters. Yeah. And for bookkeepers, I wrote some samples for Intuit. I don't know if they're posted anywhere still, but those might be in an Intuit blog. Who knows? Because every, you know, year they seem to change their whole URL. Like right now, it's firmofthefuture.com. So, yeah, Larry says the insurance, your insurance company also provides them because they want to make sure that they reduce your liability. But I like the idea of having an agreement and then having statement of work. And that way, it's just really easy to have the statement of work where you're putting in, you know, what you're going to be doing for the client and then the fees for that. And then, you know, as you grow with the client, you might have A, B, C, D, E, you know, those kind of things. Okay, so that's that. That's the statement of work and the contract core with the statement of work order. All right, so now let's go into something a little bit easier to talk about. The welcome letter with new client onboarding, I believe, is the next one. Okay, and so let me see. Who knows? Three versions. Okay. Okay, so I love this client wording because I got it from actually a bricklayer, believe it or not. All right. So I really love this wording, so I really encourage you to look at this and make it your own. The little bracket things is where you need to fill in stuff, but you also kind of want to just review the whole thing. But I just really love the way they worded this. So I kind of reworded it by 25% and then provided it to you. If this is not the version that's on your thing, let me know because I want to be sure you get this one. All right, so that's the welcome. And then the new client onboarding should be this one. So, what we've done here is you can replace your, and all of these are in doc format today, actually, old doc format 2010, so that everybody can, you know, open it with whatever software you have. So, the welcome letter is, I believe it may be included in this. And then there's a section on how we'll work together, which I love that wording. Your new account. So if you've set up QuickBooks and, you know, Bill.com and all the apps that go with it, then you can include the passwords in this document and then set up instructions. Okay. All right, Margaret, I'll fix that. Okay. And then so again, this is similar to what I just showed you. And then how we'll work together, your, you know, company contact, and then whatever title you guys use for them is, and be sure you put the picture of the staff employee. And if it's you know, that's fine. Put your picture so that they'll remember. All right. And then how are we going to communicate? Weekly, monthly? What can you expect? What are the timing and the deadlines? Well, we're going to service your account, on the same day every month, or maybe not, whatever you do for deliverables. All right. And here's what we need from you in to do this. Michelle, December 31st. And then questions. How do you handle questions? And that's important because they call you and interrupt your day, right? And actually, what we used to do for accounting clients is set up a new Gmail account for them, and then they could communicate to us through that. You may or may not want to do that, give them their own Gmail address, but we did that because then we had a passwords and accounts connected with all of that. So then, just here's how we did all this. I mean, this is a structure that you'll set up. And then if you have a client portal, you may want to have some videos, some how-to videos that you reference on how to log into their portal so that you can reduce customer service. So, how many of you get questions that you're answering every 5 seconds from every single client? The way to improve your profit margins is to answer that question once and for all in a video. And when the client asks, you can just refer them to the video rather than having to spend 30 minutes on the phone with them, right? So then here's passwords. Here's, how you access all your staff. Here's how you access the accounting system. So you can use this shell because it's going to make you look incredibly professional when you do this. So I don't know. Does anybody have something similar to that, to this? And then, your procedure might be to set up the client portal folder for them and, send them the setup emails and stuff like that. All right. But anyway, the reason we set up an email is for them to email us pictures of the bills and pictures of all the documents that need to go into the system. And you may have apps that have emails that you can give them to send them that information as well. But we've tried to kind of, at least with this, give you some ideas of what's possible related to onboarding that you may or may not be doing now. All right. Then there is another welcome letter, which could just very well be. Is that the one that's posted? Because there's a couple welcome letters that I included. And actually, I think you've got the wording for in the client intake, you've got the wording for the bricklayer one. So I may not have included it separate. Okay. So, and then you may also want to include things like privacy policies and stuff like that. That's just kind of up to you how you want to do that. Okay, so client onboarding, welcome letter. Let's do another polling question. What services do you offer in your business? Oh, heck, I think you can only pick one. I can't be sure, but pick the one you make the most money off of. If you can choose more than one, go ahead, but I think you can only pick one, and that was a mistake when we set up this question. Sorry about that. Pick the one you generate the most revenue from. And just hit enter because we need to get this polling question done. 10 seconds, you guys. If you need it for CPE, hurry, hurry. Sharon's asking, do you have sample letters that you can share when it's time to raise prices or part ways with the client? Yes, you're going to see that Tuesday. price increase letter is one of the first things I wrote for you guys like 5 years ago, 7 years ago. Yeah, it's very important. There's a very special way to do a price increase letter. I have a formula that has a really high client retention rate. Okay, so I messed up this question, but about half of you have primarily tax revenue, and then the other half have primarily bookkeeping revenue, which is what I would expect, bookkeeping or accounting. Okay, so let's go over client intake. Okay, so just making sure we're thorough. Client intake is next. Okay, and then hopefully you're going to drop this stuff in from the prospect. Because don't you hate it when you go to the doctor's office and they make you fill out a form and every single form needs your name and address and phone number? I hate that. So we're the organized people. Drop in the information you already have before you give this to a client. And then, you know, just some of the questions that you may need as you're serving the client, you probably don't need them ahead of when you give the proposal. So this would be after you've had the client sign the engagement letter. Just getting to know them a little bit more. And this is before you would actually send the onboard. So I guess we're a little out of order with the way I'm going through this. What dates do you prefer to meet with us? And let them choose. The more your client feels in control, the better, especially with finances, because they're giving you so much trust. I mean, you know, people looking at your numbers is almost as bad as the doctor looking at you naked for some people, right? So give your client back control as much as you can. And, you know, you'll be known for exceptional customer service when you do that. Now, your client may not know the answer to this, depending on, you know, if they're a small business or mid-market, they'll know. If they're over a million, they'll know, or hopefully they should be knowing. But you know, these are things that you may want to kind of go over with them. Okay. And then payment, you know, gently asking for... How would you like to take care of your account? By the way, that's a very special wording that I learned that high net worth people prefer. How do you prefer to take care of your account is the way to word rather than give me your credit card, you know? So there's a customer service tip right there. If for those of you that are working with high overachievers and high net worth people. This is a little bit out of date. Intuit Payment Network is no longer. So just ignore that. I think there is another Intuit payment system, and I don't know what that is. So you'll just need to, you're going to need to make this form your own. QB Payments, QuickBooks Payments, Patricia says. All right. So just change IPM to QB Payments. And then I don't know if you need email or what you need in order to get paid that way. But again, this is a form and you're going to need different information than I do. But I want to get you guys started on all this. All right. So, you know, hopefully giving you starter documents as well as ideas on what you can do, you know, what you can do. With all of these ideas in your practice. Okay, so let's catch up. The client intake, credit card authorization, thank you note. Okay, I mean, I'm not going to spend any time on credit card authorization, but hopefully there's a way. And then hopefully you can also put this, use this, with, you know, deliver this through an encrypted email and, you know, put it in the client portal right? So that, you know, the credit card is, the whole process is secure with the client, but I'll leave that to you because you probably already know about it. Thank you letter. Yes, so Sharon's asking, do you have a recommendation for a client portal? And I like ShareFile. Those of you that are tax focused, you may have a portal that comes with your tax software, and that may be a little bit more efficient because it may be integrated. I don't think any of the accounting vendors have done a terrific job with this, but I really love ShareFile. It is super user, the user interface is just incomparable. So ShareFile has, and I'll disclose that ShareFile has been a sponsor of many of my events and programs over the past year. So I come with a prejudice recommendation, but I use it, you know, we have to use it to deliver videos. I really love it. And the fact that it's got encrypted email as an add-on is like this huge plus. So all, yeah, I really love ShareFile by Citrix. And I think they're owned by Citrix still. Anyway, ShareFile.com. So good. Cheryl and Carol says ShareFile is awesome, and they have a format for accountants. Maybe they've created some templates. All right. Oh, okay. You're right. There's a typo in this. Okay, so you guys, my bad. Good catch, Patricia. Okay, so again, you're going to change this anyway. I'll fix that. Thank you note. So actually, I don't even. This is actually what I handwrite. So I order thank you cards and envelopes. They're in a really nice format, are that are on a really nice paper. I think I like classic laid paper. That's just my preference. And we do an kind of a wider an a little bit of an off-white, and then we put our logo on the front, and then the card is completely open, and this is what I hand write. And so I don't know if I have you guys received a thank you note from me that has a typo in it. I'll fix that and then you guys can re-upload it. Okay, now then the next thing is a polling question. Do you ask clients for feedback? Who do you use for your cards? We have a local printer. Minuteman can do it. Patricia's suggesting Vistaprint. I don't love them because you just have to be very careful with the texture of the cards. Tara says Tiny Prints has a great card that says thank you for helping us grow. Yeah, and you know, Cindy Schroeder, some I don't know how many of you guys know Cindy Schroeder because she goes way back. And she has something called Send Out Cards. So she's an affiliate of Send Out Cards. So if you go to sendoutcards.com, you can automatically get them mailed. You can select a format, get them mailed, and you know, it's very cost effective. Renee's asking me, who do you use for letterhead? Again, just a local printer. And we actually don't do a lot of letterhead anymore because we don't print anything. I mean, I have that big printer behind me, but we hardly ever use it. Patricia says send out cards can be as much as $5. Yeah, but the labor for you to handwrite all those cards is expensive too. Okay, I think we've kept this open long enough. So the answer is. Okay, it's kind of split, but most of you are saying no. 25% of you saying your client gives you feedback anyway. So the last, I think the last couple things anyway that we've provided is a feedback card. Okay, so let's see. So again, just giving you wording so you don't have to word this stuff. So this is something that you can just get printed in a postcard size card. Or you can put it on a web page, or you can put it in an email. You know, whatever you like. You might want to have it. And then the thing is, send them to places like your Pro Advisor profile, Yelp, your LinkedIn, where you can post a recommendation or a testimonial, or, you know, rate their skills or whatever that nonsense was on LinkedIn a while back. Maybe your Facebook page also has reviews on it now. So there's, you know, a lot of places where you can ask clients to provide your feedback. Whenever clients ask, we give them a, you saw that, a testimonial page where clients can enter their own testimonials, and then it's posted onto the web page. So that's provided for you. And then we've also provided a client satisfaction survey that you can send out. And again, you want to see which questions you might want to ask yourself. And okay, so overall, you know, how do you feel about our service? And then, you know, probably better to have this, you know, provided in online. You could actually put this in a Survey Monkey and have them fill it out online, and then get, you know, the answers to that. Are you? Okay. All right, so here's the client satisfaction survey. All right, so that's another thing that you can make your own and send out as you want to. Okay, and I think, yay, got a couple minutes for questions. So what questions do you have? Renee's asking, so on engagement letters, you use only your logo. On our engagement letters, we have a header and a footer that my graphics person developed for me, but, you know, we send it out in PDF via email, and then they send it back signed, you know, PDF or whatever. So we never print it. So we don't need printed letterhead anymore, because we're just, you know, we're virtual. I hardly ever, like, you know, I haven't turned on my printer all week, so I might turn on my printer, you know, maybe a couple times a month. So that's just, you know, how we have things. And your situation might be different. Your attorney might be, you know, wanting you to do different things. Renee's asking, how do you set up the template for Word? Well, okay, if we have a little bit of time, then basically just insert headers and footers, and then insert a graphic. Insert your picture logo into your header footer. Okay, so, I mean, you could Google that and get the instructions for that online. It's like way simple. Okay, so what one thing will you do from this webinar? Any other questions? Michelle's going to prepare procedures for accounting books checkup. Good. Barbara's asking, how many monitors do you use? I have a laptop. That's it. But remember, I don't do the same work that you guys do. Everything is recorded. Cheryl's going to continue to work on procedures. Kathy's going to set up a welcome kit. Sharon's going to standardize processes among clients. Sue's going to work on getting feedback. Marilyn's going to write procedures. Carol's going to build procedures from checklists and make videos of FAQs. Good. Jose's, project management software. This is, we just can't cover that in this course, Jose. You can Google project management software for accountants and probably come up with some ideas that way. Patricia's going to review task lists for each client. Ms. Dell's going to continue to work on procedures and feedback. Lori says she needs to put the entire system in place from marketing through hiring. Be sure and don't get overwhelmed on this. You know, make a goal for you, you know, month to month, and do the highest payback stuff first so you don't get discouraged. Bill's going to revise and update his processes and survey letters. Larry's going to go back and listen to yesterday's program. Okay, very good. All right, so Jose, you can feel free to ask some follow-up questions if we have time on Tuesday or Wednesday for more follow-up questions around that. I'm happy to ask about that, but this course is really talking about form samples and templates even before you get to a software solution. All right, Marilyn, absolutely. Just email us or go to acceleratorwebsites.com and click on the set appointment button and talk with Sharon. Okay, thanks everybody. We'll see you Tuesday is our next session. And in the meantime, probably Friday or Monday, we'll get those two extra tabs loaded on your download page. Now your download page user ID and password is the same, so be sure you come ready for it, ready with it on Tuesday. And you can download everything you want, you know, at any time throughout this course, so you're not downloading during the webinar so that you don't miss any tips that might be beneficial for your business. All right, we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye for now.